For as long as I can remember, I have lived two different lives. My family came to this country in 2001 with three boys, a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and the 4-year-old rambunctious one who stands before you today. They were immigrants to this country from India. They came here for opportunity. We moved to a small, quiet Midwestern town, but for them, it was like an alien world. It was a clash of cultures, it was a clash of values, and it was rife with fear. I learned from a very young age from my brothers, actually, that our duty as children was to protect them from that fear, even if that meant hiding things that we were going through, or not telling them when we were upset, or not telling them about the crush we had in third grade. All of those things were meant as a source of love for them. My parents wanted us to be happy. They wanted us to have all the opportunities in the world. And for my mom, that meant that one of her children was to become a doctor. Her father, who I'm named after, was this incredible doctor in India, devoted to his community, was just a shining beacon of light for my mother. She lost him when she was my age, and ever since then, she wanted one of her children to become a doctor. I'm still very bitter. My two older brothers got out of it. They were like, we're good at math. We're going to go to engineering. So it came up on me. So from elementary to middle to high school, I tried to live two different lives. At home, I tried to live a life that I was quiet, I was religious, I was determined, I was focused on becoming a doctor. Outside of home, I was trying to explore the world, explore adolescence, explore what it meant to be American. I was quirky, I was loud, I wanted to act, I wanted to become the class clown. I actually did win class clown in fifth grade. But interestingly, I came home and hid that certificate in my room. I think it's still there. I was runner-up for best actor in eighth grade. I'm still bitter about that. Again, not a word to my parents. But things just get tougher as you go on. And it was really hard to live two different lives. Times where I felt isolated, and it was hard to navigate what it meant to be Indian, and why didn't people like me, and what does this mean, and what does that mean, and how do I navigate the world, and I'm heartbroken, the only 15-year-old can be heartbroken. How do I navigate all of those things? But again, time and time again, I knew that I had to keep it inside. Because if I told my parents, they would worry. They would be fearful that they came to this country and their children weren't happy and they just made a mistake. Now, when I got to college and I got to Hopkins and my parents were ecstatic, their son was ready to become a doctor. I think it was that point when I started to realize some things. I started to get names for the things that I had been going through for a long time. I started getting names for being super nervous all the time or feeling empty and sad and afraid and alone. Those names were anxiety. They were episodes of depression. But those names weren't liberating. They brought more fear because they were just more things that I had to hide from my parents. When I was in college, I felt like the communication had broke down completely. Every single conversation was the same. It was, they would call me, they would say, how are you doing? I'd be like, I'm fine, like every middle schooler in the back of the car. They would say, did you eat? I'd say, yes. They'd say, how's school going? I'd say, I'm fine. Days where I'd be so anxious that I would literally rip apart all of my homework and pieces of paper. Again, they would call me, I'm fine, I ate, I'm okay. Days where I would just sit in the bed and kind of stare and feel empty and alone and trapped. Again, they would call, and I would say, I'm fine. I've eaten. I'm okay. This kept going for a long time. It kept going throughout college. I had wonderful friends, wonderful RA, and they helped me through it. But it was still like I was missing everything. I was missing that core part of me, and I just didn't know how to tell them. You can only live two lives for so long. And for me, the moment where things clashed together was when I had to take the MCAT at the end of my college experience. It's not that big of a deal, but I think when I got home that summer, My parents had laid out all of the books they had bought me. They had all of my favorite foods prepared. They were just so, so excited for me to go to the next step. But I just felt empty and alone and scared. That summer was when everything broke down. I would get up in the morning, I would go to the library, they would think I was studying, and I would just sit there in the cubicle. I would stare at that book for hours and hours, just thinking to myself, why can't you just do this? Why can't you just make them happy? It just kept going day after day. I would come home, I'd go straight to my room, I wouldn't talk to them. It got to the point where one night, during this whole affair, I just came home, I went to my room, and I started crying. My dad, who my entire life had been this stoic figure, somebody who had braved many miles across the ocean, had done everything correct, had worked hard every single day for our family, had never gotten a failing grade, had always done the right thing, came to my room, and he said, "I'm losing my son." He broke down, and he told me about the first time that he came to the United States, and how, because he didn't understand English and it was hard for him, he actually failed out. And he had to go back to India and start all over again. And after years of hard work, he finally got the opportunity to come back. Now, that story was the time when he was opening up to me. He was trying to say, "I'm being vulnerable." But for me, I just sat there silent. It was the first time where my parents had flaws, that they were real people. And another thing dawned on me that day. It was that it was never about the MCAT. It was never about this test. It was never about becoming a doctor, because that's like a Band-Aid. It's going to sting for a little bit for them, but they want me to be happy. The deeper thing was that I was scared to love myself. I was scared that if I told them that I was anxious, that if I was depressed, that they wouldn't love me and that I didn't deserve love. And a lot of that was because I didn't love myself. So I didn't say anything. I just sat there. Now, things have gotten better in the medical school department. I've talked to them. Things are working out. But again, every time that I feel alone, I feel scared, I feel like I need my mom, I just say, "I'm fine, I'm okay, I've eaten." And I think right now, as a 22-year-old, I'm trying to figure out this intensive process of how do I love myself enough to tell them that it's okay for me to say I'm flawed and I have all these mental health issues. But maybe showing them that class clown certificate is a first step.